Lord, I lift your name on high. I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show with me. Dear Lord God, I praise you and I thank you, God, that we are gathered here this morning to lift your name on high, to praise your holy name, to glorify you, God. And we're also here to hear from you, God. We're here to hear your word. We're here to worship and hear your word this morning, God. I pray that the anointing of your Holy Spirit will be upon us and upon Richie, especially, God, as he brings your word to us today. Lord, be with him and speak mightily through him to us. And I thank you for the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. All throughout my history, your faithfulness has walked beside me. When the storms made way for spring, and every season from where I'm standing, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. Help me remember when I'm weak, So you guys, please have a seat for a second. We'll continue with worship here in a minute. This was supposed to happen a little bit earlier, but I made a mistake. So Zeke and Mercy have a, my mistake. They have a, do you have the video queued up, Leslie? Okay, so I'll let them speak about what she's doing, and it was totally my mistake, so sorry about that.
Giving page, there's a drop down, so you can, if you want to give online to the church, I forget what you call it, but it'll be pretty obvious. I think it's called Mercy School Discipleship. So if you want to give that way, I do have a stack of letters we're going to have back there. We do have a GoFundMe page, but we would prefer, if you feel led to give to help Mercy with this school discipleship tuition, we would prefer that you don't give through GoFundMe, because they take 2.9% and 30 cents on every transaction, which is fine for providing the service. But if you feel led to give, you can give to the church in an envelope, mark it Mercy, or online, select the drop down, give it to us, whatever, if you feel led to give. So if you have any questions, feel free to see my daughter or myself. And hopefully the video is going to work. If not, I'm sorry.
Hi, my name is Mercy Magala, and I am raising money so I can attend a Christian gap year program where I will learn more about apologetics, biblical principles, and how to grow in my relationship with the Lord. This program is called the School of Discipleship, and it is an 11-month program that is a part of Miracle Mountain Ranch Missions, a ranch located in Spring Creek, Pennsylvania. Miracle Mountain Ranch hosts summer camps and retreats all year round, most of which are horse-related and all of which focus on growing in Christ and learning more about the gospel. I first went to Miracle Mountain Ranch in 2018 with my dad, where we attended the ranch's father-daughter retreat. We both loved the place, and that following summer I returned for one of the horse camps that they offered. Every year since, it has been a tradition for me and my dad to go to the father-daughter retreat, and we have been four times now. I've also been to summer camp every year as well, doing different horse camps I was interested in. During the summer, Miracle Mountain Ranch hosts over 1,000 children and teens throughout the 8 weeks that they offer camps, teaching them about God and His love for us. Many people also attend the retreats and events offered during the rest of the year. The School of Discipleship students are deeply involved with the activities at the ranch and are a huge part in teaching those who visit the ranch about Christ and what He has done for us. The students spend time with the visitors and get to know them, being a living example for Christ's love for us. During my time at summer camp last year, I learned more about the School of Discipleship program and started considering it as an option for what I might do after I graduated. After learning more about the School of Discipleship and praying about it, I decided it was something I wanted to do, and I believe it to be a call in what is next in my life. Shortly after applying for the School of Discipleship, I attended a retreat I hadn't been to before, the Student Attitude Leadership Training Retreat. This retreat is essentially a focus for what the School of Discipleship students do throughout their time at Miracle Mountain Ranch. During this retreat, I had an interview, and I was accepted into the School of Discipleship for the class of 2023 to 2024. Starting in September and lasting for 11 months, I'll be learning to develop Christ-like character, integrity, and maturity, as well as being taught spiritual influence, leadership, and missionary work. I will assist with activities and events during this program, as well as learn more about horsemanship. Miracle Mountain Ranch uses horses as object lessons to teach people more about Christ and the gospel and how we are to be servant leaders for God the way horses are for us. I believe the School of Discipleship is what I am called to do for the next step in my life, and I need to raise the required money for this program so that I can learn more about how to be a living example and witness for Christ to the best of my abilities. My goal is $15,000, which covers the cost to attend this program, board my horse there, and gives me enough money so I can buy all the supplies I need for the year. My name is Mercy Magala, and will you help me so I can attend the School of Discipleship for the class of 2024?
We're going to continue with worship now. Do you guys have anything else? All right, thanks. All right, please stand, and we're going to continue with worship this morning. There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul, and I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. wonderful day that will be someday. And it's through the power of the cross. And we sung this song last week. We're going to bring it back again this week. Let you guys learn this. Said hell regret over my head is gone. These chains are ashes now, which once were rusted on. I was a runaway, now I am finally home. My mind was a ghost town, haunted by yesterday, until your hand reached down, pulled me out of my grave. To the freedom found only in Jesus' name. I am forgiven, no longer lost. Now I am living in the power of the cross.
Gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity we have that we get to come and worship you, and we get to thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. God, that we get to thank you for what you did on the cross. God, as we come before you today, I just ask that you guide us, that you lead us, that you teach us, that you bring for us the understanding that you want us to understand today. Lord, that you teach us. God, I just pray that as we come before your word today, that as we study you, as we seek you, that God, we silence the chaos of our lives. That we stop for just a minute and that we truly just thank you for who you are and for what you've done on that cross. That we can take joy in knowing that we can do this freely But God, I also just ask that as we do this all, that everything we say and everything we do for you, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit rains down on this place today, that your people, that they come to hear you, your word, and that we see you today. God, I pray that these aren't my words, but they're your words. And that, Lord, that if I'm not the man called here to be here in front of you today, Lord, that you silence my lips and rise the man who is. I pray all of this in your most wonderful name, and all of God's people said, thank you, praise band. As always, an incredible worship, and we give all the glory to God. Because, Mike, you and I have hung out enough to know that it is not our talents or our abilities of our own, right? Now, I have some friends with me who I think wanted to start off this morning, so I'm going to just turn that a little bit so maybe they can get heard a little bit. I know you thought you weren't going to get fully heard, but please.
What? I said your move. You want to see my groove? But I haven't danced in years.
No, it's your move in chess.
Oh, that's right.
You know something? This game always reminds me.
There's nothing behind you.
I said remind me.
Oh, what does chess remind you of?
That VBS theme we did 80 years ago?
Oh, I remember it perfectly. We were both kids, though the live octopus got a little out of hand.
Not that theme, the one in 2023, Twists and Turns.
That's how I got to bed this morning.
That was my favorite theme ever. It was all about games.
Oh yes, I remember it. Games like chess.
Board games, strategy games, video games.
Oh my.
But most of all, I remember the theme verse. Make your ways known to me, Lord. Teach me your paths. Psalm 25:4.
You remember it after all this time?
I sure do. Twists and Turns VBS was one of the best weeks of my childhood. It was so much fun and taught me a lot about Jesus.
I do remember that week. Actually, hold on a second. I have something I kept from that week.
What is that?
It's a postcard invitation to VBS 2023 we got in the mail. I kept it this 80 years.
I'll remember those dates forever. And how do we sign up? Let's use this chess game and then break out more games to remember the good times of VBS 2023.
That sounds great. I may need a map first.
Yep, you're good. Thank you. Make your ways known to me, Lord. Teach me your paths. Psalm 25, verse 4. That is the VBS theme Bible verse this year. So if you didn't pay attention, if you didn't hear them, Twists and Turns is the VBS theme this year. And of course, Angelina and Ronnie, I'd want to thank you guys for getting up on the stage and being nervous and terrified because you got all these people staring at you and giving you all these angry looks, right?
No,
you didn't have to look at him. It's fine. Look, it's exciting for VBS to be around the corner, right? VBS is one of those memorable times of year, right? That's what they were talking about. They 80 years down the road, people still remember the VBSs. Well, at least that's what the idea behind the skit was. But let's be real honest for a minute here. Most of you, when I say VBS, there's one word that comes to mind.
Water.
There's two words that come to mind. Water and exhausted, right? Water, because everybody knows we get soaked during VBS, but exhausted is usually the first word that most adults say when they're talking about VBS. Now, the kids, for those kids in the room and anybody who's a child in this room, who's excited for VBS? All right. Well, I'm glad they didn't start screaming. They know that's frowned upon. You guys know you can actually be excited about VBS, right? No? No? Okay, well, that's all right, because that's the idea. We're supposed to be excited. We're supposed to be exhausted sometimes. Because
the adults are
excited. Amen. The adults are excited. Even as exhausted as we are at the end of it, we're excited as we go towards it, as we are in the midst of it. As exhausted as we are, the memories, the moments, the experiences are what makes Vacation Bible School such a big deal, though. It's probably one of the most influential things that we do in churches. Now, I know, hold on, you're thinking that may be a very bold statement. Good, I'm glad. I think it is. I think realistically, as churches, VBS is probably the most influential thing that we do. Because it's the one time a year where everybody in the room gets to pretend like they're a kid. Amen? I mean, let's be honest. How often does Pastor Larry walk around with a water gun squirting everybody? Every day during VBS. But if Larry walked up here with a water gun and started shooting Steve in the middle of a sermon,
I'd sit further back.
You'd sit further back.
He would come after you.
Yeah, I mean, it would happen. We might just have to have a new water gun. I don't know. I always love VBS. I'm always excited for Vacation Bible School. And most of you know that's where I came to know the Lord. At Vacation Bible School. So, because of that, I have some extra love that comes to VBS. It's one of those memories, it's those experiences that we had when we were standing around, when we were making these card castles that we were doing, because that was the games in the Vacation Bible School that we were playing at the time. I have memories of the pastor who, for whatever reason, still to this day, wears silly costumes and always has a weird acronym name, something like a letter alliteration of CJ, Captain Jack, and Commander Jack, and all these other different versions that he used to have. Now, I know I'm not the only one who remembers different themes and stuff from Vacation Bible School. So to shake things up and do something a little bit different, I'm curious, who remembers the actual themes from Vacation Bible School? Now, here's the thing. I figure this is a hard game if you don't know at least how many total themes there are. So I'm going to give you one and only one hint, and that's that there are 35 themes that have existed for Lifeway's VBS. That's it. So who thinks they can name the most Vacation Bible School themes? I mean, I know Heather can. So anybody else think they can name 2, 3, 4 themes? Nobody. Nobody can remember? Okay. Colossal Coaster World. Into the Wild. Yep. No, that wasn't a theme. That was a regular day. Agency D3. Yep. There was a sports one. Yeah.
Big Apple Adventure.
Thank you, Leah. I knew you'd remember that one. Arctic Edge was one. Yes. Submerged. Yep.
Yellow team.
Yep. The one day where Donna's not here to, like, say amen, right? I know you're watching, Donna. I hear the amen from over there, okay? Yellow team is not a VBS theme. It's part of VBS culture, but not a VBS theme. Not the whole VBS. We're looking for overall themes. Here, I can even go back further. The first one that I attended as a teen was Ocean Odyssey. Back in 2000. It gets even crazier, though. I think Leslie's got a whole thing up here, but actually, hold on, we'll go back one. How many do you know off the top of your head? Okay. Oh, this is trivia in it. Okay, so I gotta stop, is what you're saying. All right. Well, Lana, go ahead and give Zeke the prize since he named the most sitting here. I know you had help, but we're gonna give you the prize because it's much funnier to give you the prize. That's been sitting in my office for I don't know, several years now. So we're gonna go ahead and hand that to you, Zeke. No, we're not doing a Geico commercial. Move on. So I'm going to just briefly put this on the screen here, if you would, Leslie. 1988 was the first Vacation Bible School theme, Living for Jesus. 35 years of Vacation Bible School themes from Lifeway specifically. And I don't want you to get all of the clues for everything, but the first one I attended was Ocean Odyssey back in 2000, Truth Trackers in 2001, and it just keeps going. Vacation Bible School is a huge deal, and as adults, we even remember some of these themes sometimes. But since 1988, Lifeway's been producing this material. This year's theme, it's focused on games. Twists and turns, that's the whole theme, that's the whole idea. I am a huge fan of games. So when I saw this theme go online, I was excited. I was pumped. Because in my thoughts, listen, I'm not a big sports fan. I know. Some of you don't like me for that. I'm not a big car fan. It's just not my thing. But video games, board games, this is my jam. Listen, I like board games. We could play board games all day long. We could play Monopoly. We could play Catan. We could play really any game out there. I love Catan. Yeah, it's a weird quirk that I have. Yeah, we played it actually a few times. And here's the thing. A lot of the circle around me, they know how much I love these games, and we play these games together. The funny thing is, though, a lot of the reason I think I like games is because I think that life is a game. And I think we can all agree, just like our theme, that life has a lot of twists and turns. Amen? So the idea behind this year's VBS theme is it's going to help us see Peter's game-winning strategy. And we're going to look at Peter going from a fisherman to the founder of the church. See, Peter did some amazing things for the kingdom of God. And he was able to do these things because ultimately he closely followed the ultimate game changer. See, just like in video games, Jesus has the W. He's beat the game. And he offers a way to teach us to do the same. So this sermon is entirely focused on the game of life. No, not the board game. But it's focused on some overall themes that we're going to see Peter do, the twists and turns that Peter's life went through. And for those of you who are teaching in Vacation Bible School, or those of you who are about to go down for the training in VBS, you're going to see a lot of the same themes in what you're teaching and what you're going to be taught and what we're going to continue to talk about throughout Vacation Bible School week coming up. So the first twist and turn that I want to share with you all that Peter took was Jesus called Peter to follow him. So Matthew chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, or if you have your phone, if you have your app, whatever you're using, Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 through 20 says this. It says, as he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Follow me, he told them, and I will make you fish for people. Immediately they left their nets and they followed him. All right, let's be honest. You're standing out there, you're fishing. Somebody walks up to you and says, hey, follow me. Who's going to follow this person? It sounds a little crazy, right? I mean, I'm not very good at fishing. I might follow this person just because I get bored when fishing easy. But to be truthful, I think most of us, especially those of us who are taught stranger danger, are not going to go and follow some random person they haven't really met before, right? He's standing there. They dropped it all. They left. It doesn't say they thought about it. It doesn't say they debated it. They didn't discuss it between themselves. And Christians, this might hurt for a second. They didn't say, let me pray about it. They immediately left their nets. That's what it says in verse 20 there. Peter's first twist and turn in life is that he dropped everything and followed Jesus. Chapter 6 of John, verse 68 and 69 says this. It says, Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Now, at this point in Peter's life, he's been with Jesus for a little bit. He's been trained by Jesus. And he goes to Jesus and tells him that we believe. This is at a time when some of the other people around them were leaving. He says there to Jesus, we believe. We know that you have the words of eternal life. We know that you are who you say you are. We are with you. The twists and turns keep coming, right? Peter follows Jesus, and then they have a following around them, and then some of those people leave, but Peter sticks around. And John chapter 10, verse 10 says, a thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, and I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. Jesus tells us that he came to give life in abundance. Who wouldn't want life in abundance? Jesus came to give that. That's what he's telling Peter here. He also, a little bit later on in John 14, 6, says, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Through coming to faith in Jesus Christ, we have the ability, we have the win, we have victory because of Jesus. There is only victory in Jesus. My friends, the twists and turns that start Peter's adventures are him following Christ, dropping everything and following Christ. He begins to follow Christ and he sees these miracles. He sees what Jesus is doing. And it's ups and downs along the way. How many of you guys have ever had an up in your life? Have things ever been good for you? How about have things ever been bad for you? Are things good? Everybody, is everything good right now? You all good right now? No? Some of you yes, some of you no? See, the funny thing is about life is it is a game. There are ups and downs. There are good days. There are bad days. There are days where you feel like you're on top of the world and you cannot be brought down. And there are days where everything goes wrong. And you just don't feel like playing anymore. Those days where you just want to take the Monopoly board and flip it over. This is a glass chess set. I will not do that. The truth is, those days are part of life. That's part of the things that we go through. We experience good times and bad. When you get married, as the pastor stands before you, he asks you in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, through good times and bad. And depending on the pastor, there might be a handful of other additives that they throw in there. The truth is, the expectation of life is that you're going to have ups and downs. And Peter was no different. Let's look at more of the twists and turns that life provided for Peter. So the next twists and turns in life of Peter that we see is that Jesus forgave Peter. Now, I know I'm skipping around a lot here. There's a lot of Peter's life that I'm not sharing. I'm not going to tell you all of the stories because I don't want to ruin Vacation Bible School for you. You got to come and experience it, right? You also need to come and experience studying the Word within Sunday School program because we want you to learn His Word. So if I just preached the entirety of the book of Matthew at you right here, right now, or gave you a quick summary of the whole thing, I would spoil some of the fun. We're not cheating in this game today, all right? So Luke 22, verse 54 through 62 says this: they seized him. They led him away and brought him into the high priest's house. Meanwhile, Peter was followed at a distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard, and they sat down together, and Peter sat among them. When a servant saw him sitting in the light, looked closely at him, she said, "This man was with him too." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him." Verse 58 says, "But after a little while, someone else saw him and said, 'You're one of them too.' 'Man, I am not,' Peter said." Verse 59, about an hour later, another kept insisting, "This man certainly with him, since he's also a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know you. I don't know what you're talking about." Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crows. Then the Lord turned and looked at Peter. So Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Now, in a couple verses before, we just read that he had believed, right? Peter said, "We believe, we trust you. We've seen what you've done. We see what's going on." And Peter gets to a point where he's denying that he's with Christ. This is also the same man that in the garden defended Jesus. He was ready to be on the attack. And yet he denied to be connected to him. Now listen, I got to be honest. In years of ministry, in years of serving, in any type of leadership role, leaders, we tell one another that you should expect to be disappointed. And the truth is, you'll hear Larry tell you, even when you talk about membership, Larry will tell you, "We are imperfect people. We will disappoint you. You will disappoint me. I will disappoint you." That's just the truth. Because we are imperfect people. Even knowing that, still it hurts. It still hurts when someone disappoints you. It still hurts when somebody lets you down. It still hurts when we make mistakes. When we realize the error of our ways. And Peter's no different. Look at that verse. Look at the ending of that last verse. It says he wept bitterly. Peter knows what he's done. He knows that he's messed up. Peter's not happy. He's not proud of this mistake. He's not jumping for joy. This is a downtime in Peter's life. Christ has been seized. He's being crucified. Everything that was going good at the time in the times before has just took a dark spiral. And to make matters worse, he just denied even knowing him. But let's continue and see what else. John 21, verse 15 and 16 says, "When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon, Peter, Simon, son of John," this is Peter, "'do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said to him. 'You know that I love you.' 'Feed my lambs,' he told him. And a second time he asked him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said to him. 'You know that I love you. Shepherd my sheep,' he told him." knowing that what Peter did, I want to point out here that Jesus didn't disassociate with Peter. Right? He wasn't mad at Peter. He wasn't not talking to Peter. He didn't want to serve but not serve with him, right? Sometimes we do that in churches. We're like, oh, well I don't hate you, but I can't work with you, right? Not you, Zeke. You were closest to me, okay? All right. Look, sometimes we get to that point where we're like, well, I'm okay with this person, but I don't want to work with this person. Jesus didn't do that. Right? Jesus gave him more responsibility. Jesus forgave Peter here. He asks him if he loves him, and he asks Peter to shepherd his sheep. And the thing is, that's not something you do to someone you don't love. That's not something you give to someone you don't trust. That's not something you give to someone that you don't forgive. Jesus forgave Peter. Jesus forgave Peter, Jesus loved Peter, and he wanted Peter to continue to serve. This forgiveness, though, it's not just for Peter. So John 3:16, a verse so many of us have grown to know and love, a verse we talk about all the time, for God so loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only Son that so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Now, I've been in church for a long time now. I've read this verse 100 million times in probably 25 different translations, right? Did you ever notice, though, in this verse, for God so loved this world in this way, he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. In this verse, it's CSB, for anybody who's looking at that. Did you ever notice in this verse, it doesn't say, so that everyone who believes in him and is perfect would have eternal life. It doesn't say that everyone who cleans up his life first or her life first will not perish but have eternal life. It doesn't sit there and say that we have to be perfect or that we have to have perfection met at this level, or that we have to be completely washed clean. Anybody see that in there? In the fine print somewhere? No? It's not. Christ loves us. God loves us. God loves us so much that he gave his Son to pay the price for our sins. Whether we were perfect or not, if you were perfect, we wouldn't have needed Jesus to pay the price. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. See, the new has come. Here's the thing. When we do change our lives for God, the old is gone. The old price, the old mistakes, the failures, the things that we did in the past, that stuff's gone. We get to be new in Christ. We get to be pure in Christ, loved in Christ. This does not mean that you still are not going to make mistakes. Even though we're new in Christ, we are still imperfect people. Listen, I have some good friends in this room, some great friends in this room, and I know for a fact some of them are right a lot of the time. All right? I had somebody walk up to me and tell me that in class I told a lie today because I told all the men in my group this morning that they were right most of the time. Technically, I said all the time. They all think they're right all the time in my class. And I have to apologize because I told them all a lie. you think you're right was the correct terminology I should have used, not that you are all right. Huh?
But they're all right.
But they are all right. I'm leaving it alone. But what I want to make known, what I want to bring up here is though, even though we are new creations and the old has passed away, we still make mistakes. We're still not perfect. We still have sinned. And we still continue to sin. That's why we continue to draw closer to Christ. John 1:9 says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world." Talking about who Christ is. And Acts 4:12 says, "There is salvation. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which they must be saved." Here's the thing. Salvation came through Jesus Christ. The perfection of Christ was the price that needed to be paid. That blood was the only blood that was pure enough. That blood was the only blood that had no sin, and therefore was the only blood that could pay the price for our sin, and that salvation comes from that blood. And Jesus forgave Peter. He loved him so much that he was willing to die on the cross for him, and he was willing to pay that price and forgive him for it regardless. Regardless of what he did. But let's look at the final twist and turn that Peter went through that we're going to talk about today. The final twist and turn for Peter's life was that Peter became bold. Peter, after the resurrection began, he became bold. If, like so many others, you've listened to myself and Pastor Larry and Zeke and so many others that have preached and taught through Acts, you'll see in Acts chapter 12 that Peter gets arrested and then saved by angels. You'll see that Peter begins preaching and teaching throughout the book of Acts. He understood what occurred in the resurrection of Jesus after this. The boldness fulfilled what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, where it says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." He says in Acts 4:29, "And now, Lord, consider their threats. Grant that your servants may speak your word with all boldness." To add another twist and turn for the life of Peter, he's marked for boldness by the Holy Spirit. In Acts 4:31, we see when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly. The Holy Spirit changed the lives of the apostles. It changes the life of the disciples. It changes our lives by making us bold and brave and confident. In John 16:33, it says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You have suffering in this world, but be courageous. I have conquered the world." Listen, I've shared with you twists and turns throughout Peter's life. And he had some ups and downs. He wasn't a perfect man, by all means. He was like, eh. Right? But he's no different than you and me. He got to hang out with Jesus. But just like you and me, he made mistakes, and plenty of them. He had good times. He had bad. Honestly, he was just a normal person. He wasn't some great teacher or leader. He wasn't some incredible fisherman. He was a normal person who made mistakes along the way. but he was able to win the game of life. And was able to successfully navigate all of life's twists and turns. Well, now that I've shared the twists and turns of Peter's life, I want to share with you my practical conclusion, which is actually the real sermon. So sit down, relax, get comfy. I got the rest of it here. We only got like 35 more pages or so. We're good. And they're not making anything downstairs. Ignore the smells of food. It's all good. Psalms 25, verse 4, make your ways known to me, Lord. Teach me your paths. This should be the starting point for the game of life for us. This is the go mark if you're a Monopoly fan. This is where we need to begin. We need to be seeking God to ask him to make his ways known to us. As believers, I think there's five things, there's five practical applications that I think we can take from all of the texts that I read to you. And I can summarize it with this. You can't have life without ups and downs. You caught it, didn't you? Thank you. You can't have life without its ups and downs. Abundant life can be found through Christ. Transformation takes faith. Apathy is dangerous. And never stop talking to God. Now, you saw Zeke laughing. He noticed that I spelled Catan in my points there. Yeah, I like playing games too. This is my twist for you today. The turn I wanted you to see was I wanted to spell Catan with my points. Yeah, I know it's corny. But if you remember nothing else out of this sermon, remember that I can make points say Catan. But these points here, these are truth. Life is going to have its ups and downs. It's going to have good things, bad things, and everything in between. My friends, we're going to have times where life is just hard. And you're going to want to give up. There are times where you just want to flip the board game and start over. Whether that's because of the financial issues, the marital issues. Maybe it's because you just can't take the screaming anymore. Maybe it's because you just don't understand. Ups and downs are part of life. But that's okay, because abundant life can be found through Christ. Christ is the only way we can get to that. So what's that mean? Well, see, the thing is, abundant life means that we have an ability to live a life with him that can seek, we can find joy, we can find passion, we can find the love. Does that mean that life is not going to have twists and turns? Absolutely not. It means that we know what happens in the end. And that despite the twists, despite the turns, despite all those bad days that we have, we know what our end game is. Transformation, it takes faith. Here's the thing. If you don't believe, your life is never going to be changed. It takes God working in you, working through you, the Holy Spirit, to transform, to change you. Now, apathy is dangerous. I know this one feels kind of like it was just thrown in there, and it was. This was just a fresh reminder that the desire to not do anything, that apathy, it's dangerous. So why do I throw that in on a sermon where I'm talking about Vacation Bible School? Funny thing is, let me just plug for VBS here. There's always somewhere to serve. Good plug? All right. There is always somewhere to serve. VBS is once a year. Yes, it is exhausting. There is nothing that you will ever do in the church that you will find more joy and more exhaustion out of. Because the truth is, when you go out and you're serving, and whether it's you're helping in the rec team, which, what, Matt, what are there, like 50 of you guys on rec team now? Getting close? Okay, all right. Listen, there's always room, there's always areas. Everybody can serve throughout VBS. And the truth is, there's always opportunities. The preschool department has plenty of opportunities because that team needs as many hands as they can get. The rec team has a bunch of kids going through water slides and then throws water balloons at a bunch of kids. How much fun is that? Come on. The classes, the teaching, the ability to get to serve and get to talk with all the students. And you know what the funny thing about it is? You talk to these students and they act like this is the greatest thing in the world that we're doing. When for most of us, it's just another year. But if you ask any kid, VBS is a blast. Apathy is dangerous. And never stop talking to God, because here's what I want to share with you. My friends, we have to talk with God. We have to continue to seek Him, to run to Him, to draw near to Him. So if you take nothing else out of my sermon today, if you take nothing else out of what I've spoken to you today, just remember Catan. I want to leave you with this, though. As we go this week, as the praise band comes forward, as they start preparing to get their music together here, as we go out this week and we're doing the different things we do, look, we all have opportunities and areas where we need to work on our lives. And right here, right now, we all have twists and turns that we're going through, experiences in our lives that we're struggling with, things we're... Maybe we're not happy with where things are at right now. This is that fresh reminder for you that, you know what, through these twists and turns, God is still there. God is still working. It's our job, it's our role, it's our responsibility as believers to make sure that our eyes are focused on Him. So as the praise band begins, I pray that this week you think about, you pray about, that you find where God is working on you, that you remember that these twists and turns are part of life, and that you keep your eyes on the prize that is Jesus. Pray with me as we close. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love, for your mercy, and your grace. God, I thank you that you have given us the opportunity to come here today. But I also ask, God, that as we seek you through the twists and turns of life, that, Lord, you bring us focused and back to you. God, I pray this in your most wonderful name, and all of God's people said.
Amen. We all please stand with us.
don't get too caught up in the twists and turns of life, that you have a fantastic week, and that you make sure in everything we do that we run to God. Don't forget, for those of you, if you haven't already caught on, as a fresh reminder, VBS training now? All right, VBS training is now downstairs. We're going to eat first, so why don't I'll pray for the food then? All right. If you'll pray with me. Gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. Lord, we ask that you bless the food, the hands that prepared the food, and Lord, that you bless the VBS training. And Lord, I pray that you not let the children overrun me and the youth who are watching them. So it's, Lord, it's in your great name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. You're dismissed. Thank you all.
Jesus paid it.